Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that right now you're at the right hand of God in the heavenlies, interceding for all of us. Lord, all of our names you're bearing on your heart and are appearing before God the Father on our behalf. And Lord, we ask you that your prayers would now become our prayers. That what you're praying in the heavenlies, you as the Spirit will be praying in us and through us. Lord, thank you. You're praying for all of the seeking saints in your recovery to know and experience and live in the divine and mystical realm. Lord, please give us all a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know in a marvelous way that the process in consummated triune God is the divine and mystical realm. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you came through incarnation to live in the physical realm. But as you were so living, you were living simultaneously in the divine and mystical realm. Amen. And now in the heavenlies, you're praying that the way you lived on the earth, we will all live that way, more and more, until you come and rapture us alive. Lord, thank you for making it clear that speaking and teaching and ministering on the divine and mystical realm is a battle and requires much prayer. But we join you now, seated with you in the heavenlies, to carry out this battle against the evil powers in the air. And we are seeing with you in your victory. And we aim our prayer to the earth, that what is on your heart for this meeting will break through the air and reach thousands of saints right now. May you be glorified. And may the enemy be put to shame.
Amen.
Crush him tonight.
Amen.
Glorify yourself tonight.
Amen.
Bless your recovery tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It might be helpful to have a simple overview of message 2 concerning the divine and mystical realm. Then we'll go through step by step. First, we need just a little time to define what we mean by the word mystical for us, so we don't have a misuse of the word. And then we need to have the vision of the divine and mystical realm. And this vision will show us that the triune God himself is the divine and mystical realm. But that is the Godhead. We cannot live in that realm. But the divine and mystical realm, which we will enter, become part of, and live in, is the consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ. And the more we are becoming part of the divine and mystical realm, then the more we will experience so many precious aspects of your saving life day by day as we're living more and more simultaneously in the physical realm and the divine and mystical realm. So we will consider that with some detail. And then the last section will show us the connection between living in the divine and mystical realm simultaneously with our living in the physical realm in our daily human life. while we are doing that, by the Lord's supply, we have been growing to maturity, but moment by moment we are abiding in Him, so that when He comes secretly to rapture the living saints, we will not be those left behind, but those taken to the throne. This is the overview of this message too. So now a little definition of the word mystical. Well, we're not talking about a group of people that were in the Middle Ages were mystics. They're kind of persons that were doing something with their soul to try to have a direct contact with God somehow by their contemplation or their kind of causing themselves to suffer. This is not the genuine spirituality. And those who engaged in that, they were mystical. So we're just setting that aside. Mystical, Brother Lee is using the word numerous times. And there's this book, The Divine and Mystical Realm. It's right there. Divine and Mystical Realm. The two chapters are masterpieces. I was there when Brother Lee gave the message. I've read this again and again, but I was reading it again recently. I felt like I'm reading it for the first time. So you, if you have the completed works of Brother Lee, you can have it there, but you may want to have just a little copy like this. That's up to you. And so our understanding of mystical is that there is a profound truth that is far beyond our capacity to know and understand. But even more important, mystical refers to a realm of divine reality that is far beyond our senses. We can't see it, we can't hear it, we can't touch it, we can't inhale it, we can't. And it's way beyond the capacity of our mind, no matter how intelligent, how brilliant you are, even if you're a genius, it's way beyond that. So it can only be made known through the mingled spirit, through the divine revelation. So when we speak of what is mystical, we're talking about the triune God, who is mystical himself, and the realm that he is, and what is taking place there. The Lord wants to make that known by us, but it's not by our trying to feel it and hoping to have some kind of feeling and trust in feelings. We don't have confidence in our mind that if we just study and study, no, I'm going to get it. You're just going to get your concept expanded, maybe. But eventually we will just come as open vessels and pray sincerely, and the Lord in His way will make known to us the divine and mystical realm. So now we can come to the outline. The first three sections are focused on the truth, the revealed truth, which is the foundation. And then sections 4-7 are all on the experiential side. And that is where the very weighty burden is. But the experience, as signified by Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, must have a foundation. And that's the spirit of revelation mentioned in Ephesians 1, that inwardly we have a vision, and based upon that, the experience will take place. Okay, Romans 1. All the saints in the Lord's recovery need to have a clear view, a vision concerning the mystical realm and the divine and mystical realm. So a vision involves revelation. That means the veil is lifted. Then there needs to be light, spiritual light, because God is light. And then our eyes, our spiritual eyes, need to be opened that we can see. So this is what we are seeking for. A, we need to appreciate the divine and mystical realm by being impressed with a sharp contrast. Earthly versus heavenly. Judicial versus organic. Objective versus subjective. Physical versus mystical. So we're seeking for heavenly, organic, subjective, and mystical. Point B is crucial. We need to enter into a realm, a sphere, a kingdom, which is much higher than the realm that we are in now. This higher realm is the divine and mystical realm. And this point is an adaptation or an application of what Brother actually said when he spoke this, when he gave these messages, was at a training with co-workers and elders and leading brothers in 1966. And then he said that you need to enter into a realm, a sphere, a kingdom, much higher than where you are in now. So he addressed all of us. You're not in this realm, this divine and mystical realm. He didn't say, I was and you're not. The fact was, he was living simultaneously in the physical realm and the divine and mystical realm. And that word never left me. I'm just in this physical realm, all of us. And he had the future of the Lord's recovery in view, that we'll realize we need to be brought into another realm, the divine and mystical realm. C, we enter into the divine and mystical realm by seeing. This realm and spiritual things, to see is to enter. Just a brief comment that seeing is, of course, a spiritual exercise, but hearing is deeper than seeing. That is the reason that when the Lord was speaking to the messengers of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and at the end of his speaking to each one, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so applying this to you as I need to, of course, I've been applying it to myself long before that, and again, fresh. Genuine seeing is the issue of hearing. And only the Lord knows if all of us have an open ear, have a blood-cleansed ear, have an open to the Spirit's speaking. And there will be a certain point, I believe, in the course of this message that the Lord will indicate He is now about to speak and wants to speak directly to each one of us. But His way of doing it, He has to speak through a human vessel. And so I have no choice but to follow the inner anointing and leading of the Spirit with a tender, loving heart and an exercised spirit, so that the Lord, when we come to that point, I'll let you know, He wants to speak directly to each one. This is not a conference. This is a training. And if Saturday evening around 9:30 or so, you walk out of this place, you have the feeling you're the same as you were a week ago, then you were in a conference. You learned some things. Certain things are interesting to you. But a training is when the Lord wants to touch us. And I sincerely believe, dear saints, He wants to teach each one of us in a very particular and crucial way. Are you open for this? And you will be blessed, surely, by this. Now, points 2 and 3, they go together in this way, that in Roman numeral 2, we see that the divine and mystical realm is the triune God Himself. And that, of course, is true. The triune God Himself is eternal, self-existing. He's the divine and mystical realm. But this is also the Godhead. We cannot enter into that. But let's suppose there is a way for us to enter into the triune God Himself in the divine and mystical realm. It would be wonderful what we would see and know the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But there would be nothing there of Christ's incarnation, of His human living, of His death, of His resurrection, of His ascension, of His warfare. So this is not the realm we enter into. But we need to know the truth concerning the triune God Himself as the divine and mystical realm, and we're helped by points A and B. The triune God, the three of the divine Trinity, is self-existing, ever-existing, coexisting, and co-inhering. That's mutual indwelling. And as such, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are a divine and mystical realm with the three of the divine Trinity dwelling in one another. And concerning this matter of the mystical realm, because now we're going to refer to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John itself is entirely mystical. We need Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but they are all focused on the God-man Jesus in the realm of the physical realm that He came to by His incarnation, where He lived on the earth. There are descriptions about His person, His living, His teaching, the way He was crucified, His resurrection, His ascension. And this is, you know, very helpful to know this. But this is just realizing objectively what He actually is. But the Gospel of John, and it's quite encouraging that he's probably in his 90s when he wrote it, maybe one of the last documents along with 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and Revelation. And the Lord just perfected him as just ministering in this way, in the divine and mystical realm. And so the entire Gospel of John is mystical. For example, the beginning verse, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, tabernacled among us, full of grace and reality. That's mystical. And then in John chapter 3, verse 13, I can't quote exactly, that He said, you know, He's the Son of God, Son of Man. I'm living on the earth, but actually I'm also living in heaven. This is mystical. And when we were told that as Moses lifted up, you know, the serpent, that's a typified the Lord being raised up on the cross, that's the mystical. In John 14, as we'll just briefly comment on, the Father's house is dwelling place, preparing a place for us. In verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is mystical. And so there may be a leading from the Lord. There will be a sixth message conference somewhere in this country as he continues to lead on living in the divine and mystical realm as revealed in the Gospel of John. But now back to the outline, point B. According to John 14, 10 and 11, the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son. This indicates that the Father is embodied in the Son, and the Son is in the Father is in the Son. This indicates that the Father is embodied in the Son, and the Son is in the Father, the Father's in the Father's embodiment, forming a divine and mystical realm, the realm of the triune God. So this is the triune God himself. But what's crucial now is to see what the divine and mystical realm into which we will enter and have been entering and will become part of and more live in it. That is the particular burden. As we are growing to maturity and being saved in life, we will live simultaneously in these two realms. And I'm just giving a little glimpse at the crucial burden at the end. We will become more and more what I call rapture ready. The divine and mystical realm into which we may enter today and in which we may live, not will enter, not will live in, but may. That's up to you. Is actually not simply the divine and mystical realm of the triune God. It is the divine and mystical realm of the consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ. And so, the realm in which we are is the consummated Spirit. The Spirit was the Spirit of God. Eventually, he became the Holy Spirit. But remember in John 7, the Lord said, the Spirit is not yet. And that refers to the consummated Spirit that will be brought forth with Christ's resurrection. And then the pneumatic Christ, Christ who has become the life-giving Spirit in his resurrection, this is the divine and mystical realm that we are more and more living in. A, the Bible reveals that the Spirit has become the consummated, all-inclusive, and compound Spirit. The term consummated Spirit implies that the Spirit has been processed and thus has become the consummated Spirit. So the Spirit himself went through a process. Now he's the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. So we want to live in him. This is a delightful realm to be in. Two, the consummated Spirit is the compound Spirit typified by the anointing oil. Most of us are familiar with this type mentioned in Exodus 30, 23 to 25. In Christ's resurrection, the Spirit of God was mingled with Christ's humanity. With his death and its effectiveness, and with his resurrection and its power. So all of this is in the consummated Spirit. The issue of this mingling is the compound consummated Spirit. Three, the consummated Spirit is the triune God who in Christ has passed through the process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. So all these aspects of Christ are in the consummated Spirit. So when we are abiding in the consummated Spirit, living in the consummated Spirit as the divine and mystical realm, the indwelling Spirit knows exactly where we are and what we need. Sometimes He enlightens us and we pray, but more often He just supplies. He just ministers. You are here, you're an open vessel, and I'm going to minister the humanity of Jesus. I'm going to apply the effectiveness of this aspect of His death. You're in a situation, I know your circumstances, I know what you're going through. You need to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. It's in the consummated Spirit, and you are in this realm. And because you're in this realm, everything that's in this realm is for you. And on your side, you can just claim it and contact it and receive it and experience it and enjoy it and thank the Lord about it and have fellowship about it. But most of the time, He knows where I am, or He knows what's going to happen later today or what's going to happen in the near future. And He knows how to prepare us. And so there is this marvelous realm that when we're in, then the all-inclusiveness of the consummated Spirit is here, and it's inexhaustible. It's immeasurable. And the more time we are here, and then because we're learning, we're in, you know, then we're out. Okay, we're experiencing life in the divine and mystical realm, while we're also in the physical realm, humanly. But now, okay, we're back in the physical realm only. And so we're learning. We're all learning. While I'm speaking to you, I'm still learning. I expect to be a learner until the end. I'd like that. Right? Just to come to Him as a learner and just related to all the saints, I'm a learner just like you. Okay, we're at a different stage, but that doesn't make one superior to others. Just like if I'm with my grandchildren, you know, I don't say, you know, what are you compared to me? I'm an octogenarian and look at all that I've gone through and you little kids. Of course not. I just delight, enjoy them and love them and care for them where they are. And they'll go through all the stages, so that's how I view all the rest of you. So just be at peace where you are right now and let the Lord come to you and minister Himself into you right now. Okay? I mean it. Right now. I think you'll really like it and experience it and enjoy it. And then B, the Bible reveals that Christ has become the pneumatic Christ. And for those hearing this for the first time, this word pneumatic is based upon the Greek word. It's really referring to a process the Lord went through in resurrection. So now He became the life-giving Spirit. The key verse is 1 Corinthians 15:45b. Through His death and resurrection, Christ became the life-giving Spirit and thereby became the pneumatic Christ. Thus we may speak of the divine and mystical realm of the consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ. The words seem to indicate that these are two different realms, but they're not. The consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ are just one being, but the words indicate different aspects. Okay, so now we're beginning to turn into the matter of experience. I believe that these basic truths are sufficient for the time being, that more and more the burdens will increase, because it's just been, I just shared this very briefly, as I was recovering from that heart surgery, I just realized this is just my portion. We don't compare ourselves with one another. We need all the different brothers speaking and all their portions. I just realized, almost from the Lord, every message you share has to issue in actual experience. We can't just stop with the truth, although we must have it. We can't be content with the vision that is necessary. We want it to become real to us, actual, personal, day by day. It's really happening. We are really living in this realm. We really are contacting the pneumatic Christ. This all-inclusive Christ really is becoming more and more to us. And He knows what we need to be and what we need to become moment by moment. And now it becomes a constituent in our being. And so when we speak about it, it's not only the necessary objective truths, it's a testimony of the genuine experience of this. And this should be a normal characteristic of saints that have been in the Lord's recovery for decades. But I have something to say as the Lord leads. And my heart on the one hand aches with deep concern. On the other hand, my heart rejoices because here are older saints that you can just tell. I'm not judging anybody. I don't go around spying at anybody. The Lord covered me to say when I'm interacting with most saints in about 20 seconds, I just know where you are. And Brother Lee and Sister Lee and some other saints, they knew instantaneously where I was. They never criticized me. But I know they prayed. They'd be fought. And so don't be afraid about that. And some dear saints, you can just say, they're in their 70s. They're genuinely well into the realm of maturity. And here are some other saints that haven't grown at all for the last 30 years. But the Lord gives up on no one, and we will not give up on anyone. And recently I've been saying again and again to the older saints, you know, octogenarians, you know, they're in the 80s. There are some that are older than me. I say this sincerely, out of loving concern, it's not too late. It's not too late. The Lord is well able to redeem the time and restore the years the locusts have eaten. Just press on now. And then it's a rejoice to just see. Haven't seen this brother, haven't seen this sister for decades, or not decades, but a few years. And you just sense much more Christ. Experiential. That's why, along with the truth, in every message, there has to be an emphasis on the experiential side. So that it becomes real to us, personal, more and more. For in our experience, we actually become part of the divine and mystical realm of the consummated spirit and the pneumatic Christ. Well, this is not hard to understand. How did you become part of the human realm? You were born into it. That's how you got here. You were born into this realm. And so when you were born again, you were born into the divine and mystical realm. The real point of concern is, then how much growth is there are, how much development is there are, but we've all been born into this realm. We become part of the divine and mystical realm through the divine birth, Through regeneration, we were born into the divine and mystical realm. Point B is very important. I would just emphasize the aspects of it as I'm reading. We become part of the divine and mystical realm by participating. Okay, this is experiential. We're participating. That means part of that is becoming our experience. And so if you are at a love feast and there's all kinds of healthy food, you're participating. You don't gobble down everything that's on the table, but a portion of it is for yours. You're participating. And so we become part of the divine and mystical realm by participating in God's life, nature, mind, being, image, glory, sonship, manifestation, and likeness. We become part of the divine and mystical realm by being built up in the body of Christ. This is a corporate aspect. There's a limit on how much we can participate of the divine and mystical realm personally, especially if we are rather independent. But if we are growing in life, and we can honestly say, I cannot live without Christ, and then you can also say, I cannot live without the body. I'm a member of the body. I am alive here, standing on this platform because of the prayers of the body, the life of the body, the fighting of the body, because I'm a member of the body. So I'm here with you by the body, with the body, and now I can say in my portion, for the body. Once we realize this, then our participation enlarges. And so now we are able to be built up in the body of Christ, not just be part of a local church. A local church is the procedure, not the goal. The goal is the organic body of Christ built up. The body of Christ is the divine and mystical realm. And the more we are in the reality of the body of Christ, the more we are in the divine and mystical realm. Now, there's an important word in point two. I want to emphasize it, but I can't dwell on it. I have to manage the time. And I got a nice little clock here to let me know where it is so that I have enough time to release the burden and be done before 9 o'clock. That's my hope. We'll see if that works out or not. The body of Christ is the divine and mystical realm. The more we are in the reality of the body of Christ, the more we are in the divine and mystical realm. And now the word in point two, the believers are blended into one entity to be the mystical body of Christ. And so I'm speaking to all the saints. But in my heart right now, there's a particular but positive concern for my fellow co-workers and all the elders and leading brothers in the churches. Are you blended? Where you are, what is the leadership that's there? A king? Is there someone there who is a king? Or the brother there who has an important function, but he's a blended leading brother with the others. We need to be blended into one entity to be the mystical body of Christ. It's not just knowing it, and not having spiritual awareness of it, we realize we're being blended. And there'll be a message coming up. It'll be very clearly presented. I know, because the brother who will be speaking, he does this all the time. I'm looking forward to that. You'll find out who he is. Don't be curious right now. You can guess and you'll probably be right. And so, this is the issue. Now, we come to the heart of the burden. And we'll be in this for half an hour or more. And the peak, we'll reach the peak when we come to section 6.7. And if you go ahead and peak, you're not violating anything. You won't be in any trouble. But if you can wait, you can wait either way. I brought it to your attention, so that's why I say that peaking is not illegal. Now, before I come to this section, I have to share something that recently has been, again, I say, in my heart for all the saints. So I want to ask this question, because what I'm going to present to you is at the very heart of this section. And that is this. I'm asking you about your personal relationship with the Lord in your daily living. Your personal, intimate contact, person to person. And I'll try to be very clear, and I hope you will understand clearly. We're all in the local churches. And we all participate in what the leading brothers are directing us to do. This is part of the church life. And so we have the Holy Word for Morning Revival week by week. And then often on the Lord's Day morning in a meeting that's called prophesying meeting. I have a reason to say it's called that. Then it's based upon what we were in the week before. And then the brothers are leading us, as is normal, that we're all reading this portion from the Ministry Digest. And also, we are reading life studies, you know, this number of week in these books. And also, this is our Bible reading, Old Testament and New Testament. This is the church life. We're part of it. But that's corporate. Where are you personally? What do you need personally that, you know, I only have three children, one daughter, two sons, and only three grandchildren. But when we're all together, look, you've got Grandpa, octogenarian, and his wife. Not an octogenarian. And then my daughter and two sons, my wife of one of my sons, the grandchildren, we're all one family. We're all together. It's so normal. But the fact is, in our human life, we're in a different stage. We're in a different realm. We have a different need that matches where we are. And I say again, my heart aches with loving concern. Only the Lord knows, and I'm not trying to get information about the saints and their contact with the Lord. And it just comes up to them, this feeling comes up, Lord, what book of the New Testament should I be in for my own experience and growth? Then he may show you. So maybe it's going to be Romans. Maybe it'll be Philippians. And then you might just read maybe 10 minutes a day. But I say again, there's this deep concern. If there's not a personal relationship, intimate fellowship with the Lord, then we are only taking in what the whole church is taking in, as we should and as we will. But it's just like with my family, what I need is far different from what my granddaughter needs. And so where she is, her needs need to be met where she is. And mine need to be met where I am. Because this whole section, section 5, is really focused on our personal relationship with the Lord. And this could take hours of sharing with you. I'll just emphasize certain points as illustrations. So as believers in Christ, children of God, we should live in the divine and mystical realm. A, the divine and mystical realm into which we may enter and in which we may live is the divine and mystical realm of the consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ. Okay, this is the realm. We're seeing this vision. We need to learn to live in this wonderful realm. And so we know from Matthew 23, we only have one teacher. The Lord said, I am your teacher. And if we have this sense, Lord, I need to learn to live in this wonderful realm. And you may say, Lord, I don't think I really know hardly anything. He's not going to be unhappy with that. He said, I've been waiting for you to tell me that. I know where you are. I just want to care for you where you are. I'm coming to you where you are to learn to live in this wonderful realm. And you just ask him, I want to learn. And I'm not putting on pseudo humility. I'm learning day after day. And I learn by having some experience. But I have to say, I think you can understand this. I learn by my mistakes. And I said, oh, okay, now, what caused that? Okay, now the light comes. That's why, Ron. I said, okay. So, Lord, you need to touch that. And I need to apply the cross to that. And so I expect, as I mentioned already, to be a learner until the end. Who knows, maybe for eternity. God is infinite. We may be having life studies forever and ever. But we can wait until then. B, in the divine and mystical realm, we receive the Spirit as the unique, all-inclusive blessing. So I'd like to ask saints 65 and over, this is a direct question to you, but you know I'm not criticizing. You can tell that. You can drink my spirit, you know. Could you come to the platform? And I give you 2 minutes. And you just share with me your experiences of receiving the all-inclusive blessing of the Spirit. And you testify to say, I have been learning. I cannot live without God's blessing. I cannot serve Him. I cannot give a message. I cannot be a wife or a husband. And I've just been enjoying so much the blessing that just I receive just by being in the divine and mystical realm. This is really true. An all-inclusive blessing. Oh, and our God is a God of blessing. He would like to bless all of us. He wants to bless all the local churches, bless all the co-workers, all the elders and the leading brothers, all those who will be coming to FTTA, I don't think it's even too late to sign up. You will be blessed and blessed again. Can you say amen, graduates?
Amen.
Yes, that's not a phony amen. That's a genuine amen. You've been blessed, right?
Amen.
You're going to be a blessing.
Amen.
Now see, in the divine and mystical realm, we receive the transmission of the ascended Christ and the supply of His heavenly ministry. So this means that Christ is in the heavens. He has a heavenly ministry. But right now as we're meeting, He's praying for us, interceding for us, ministering to us, and dispensing the heavenly things, that is the nature of life, the heavenly things into us, that we may live a heavenly life on earth as the Lord did when He was on the earth. So when we are living in the divine and mystical realm, with our heart turned to the Lord and open to the Lord, and we exercise our spirit, the high priest in the heavenlies is praying for us, and now he's ministering into us, and flowing into us are the heavenly elements, so that while we're living on the earth, we are living with a supply ministered from the heavens. So while we're living a human life, we're also simultaneously living a heavenly life. And this is the part of the essence of the epistle to the Hebrews. Living under the divine and mystical realm, the heavenly ministry. D, in the divine and mystical realm, we experience God's organic salvation. Okay, now get ready for this point. God's organic salvation, that is saving us in life, takes place only when we are in the divine and mystical realm. That is why a number of dear saints, and just recently, I'm not going to go into anything specific, recently, you know, I was in a meeting. And a larger number were there because of the conference, the training time. And there were three sisters. I wouldn't say I know them. I'm just aware of them in their 70s. And one, it was so clear that she is well into the realm of maturity. It's just so evident to me. But the others, they're just as dear as that sister, that have known them for decades, and they haven't grown for more than 30 years. And when someone is in a situation like this, you can't touch them. You can't touch them. They're unable to receive that. But I wish they would just come to the Lord personally and say, Lord, please show me where I am. I don't want to be self-deceived. I want to know where I am in the growth in life. And then I want you to lead me on from where I am. Otherwise, not only these dear ones, but so many brothers and sisters in the churches, I'm not talking about Christianity right now, in the churches, they will find out their actual condition at the judgment seat of Christ. But I know a brother who passed away, I believe, a little less than 2 years ago. He's about 91. I won't go into the details. But he made a drastic mistake way back in the 70s. But he was recovered thoroughly. And his prayer was, Lord, anything that you will judge, when I stand before you on the day of judgment. Please deal with me now. I ask you, shine in me now. And the Lord did this thoroughly. And He finished His course in victory at 91. Again, this is what's in my heart. When I say it's not too late, you haven't finished the course. I spoke a little bit about this to the graduates. But many dear saints, their life is over. But running the race was not completed. And so it's in this realm that we may have this organic salvation. That's where it's taking place. So the more we're in this realm, the more we'll be saved in life. Then there will be a message, not only saved in life, you will be reigning in life. This is going to be a wonderful message coming up. Message 8, I'm pretty sure. We go on now to E, in the divine and mystical realm. We live in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. So we're a different species. So I just wondered if I met someone that I think obviously physically, you know, you're a male, you're a man. And he says, well, that's what I look like. But, you know, but don't use those pronouns to me. And I say, okay, just tell me how I should address you. And I just want to respect you. Then I just was, this probably will never happen. Some of you heard this already. But I just hope it would one time. So I'm interacting with them. And I say, okay, will you do the same thing to me about my gender? Okay, what is it? God-man gender. God-man gender. So anyway, the point is, we want to be in the divine and mystical realm, to be of the divine species. Outwardly physical, we seem to be apparent as everybody on the earth, but we are another species. We are children of God. F, in the divine and mystical realm, we live in the fellowship of the divine life. Wow. The divine life flowing. Chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. We're just in the light together. And this opens a way for us to have fellowship in light. And then while we're having this fellowship in light, the blood of Jesus is cleansing us from every sin. Certain sins He wants us to know about and to confess. Others, He just wants to wash away. How splendid it is to live in this fellowship. G, in the divine and mystical realm, we live a spontaneous and effortless Christian life according to the automatic function of the law of life. And so it's effortless. It's spontaneous. That's the genuine life. It's just happening. Because it's the law of life operating in you. And you are living in this realm where this law of life is operating. And it's just effortlessly. In every other aspect, in every aspect of your daily living. H, in the divine and mystical realm, we live a life of truthfulness as the expression of the revealed divine reality. I'm very thankful for John to using this word truthfulness in 2 John 1 and in 3 John 1. And I just want to read something I noted down about this. The revealed divine reality becoming our genuineness and sincerity so that we may live that corresponds of the light. So the divine reality becomes your genuineness, your truthfulness. And this really touches people. Even when you're at work, or you're at school, or you're a mother with children and you're contacted with other women, their friends, eventually they realize and they ask you, there's something different about you. They sense something. And you say, would you like to know? I would. Well, just come on in. We'll have some tea together. And I'll share it with you. And that is, the divine reality is being wrought into me day by day by the Spirit of reality who is guiding all of the believers into reality. And the issue is to make me genuine, honest, sincere. And she says, that's it. You're a genuine person. I can trust you. Then you may ask, would you like to be the same kind of person? Yes. Then just follow me to pray. You'll be born again. Just the truthfulness, the genuineness of the divine reality. And this is one of the characteristics of Brother Lee. Sometimes, trainees especially, they were born after he went to be with the Lord. They never got to contact him personally. Because what was he like? And the two things that I may have the leading to say is, one is, he's the most human, Jesus the human person I've ever known. He's humanly divine and divinely human. And then I want to say, he was genuine. He was truthful. He was sincere. No politics. No diploma. The diplomats. Everything genuine and sincere. What a corporate life is this. There's nothing false. Everything's real. Everything's genuine. I, in the divine and mystical realm, we are mingled with the process triune God for the keeping of oneness. Okay. The real oneness is in the triune God. To the genuine oneness is the mingling of the believers with the triune God. Now, these two subpoints are extremely important. To have such oneness, the believers must be in the consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ as the divine and mystical realm. This is the real oneness. The intrinsic oneness is we're all living in this realm. Little b, the believers are one with the triune God in the divine and mystical realm of the consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ. Now, some brief speaking on section 6, and then we will conclude with message 7. Our time is good. To apply this to the upcoming secret appearing of the Lord to rapture the living, overcoming saints on the earth. And none of us, none of the brothers are going to say, we know the year the Lord is coming, all of this. But there is this almost universal feeling we're approaching the end of the age. And maybe someone my age won't be with you to the end, but I'm not so sure. Maybe I'll just stay with you to the end. We'll just see. But it's going to happen. And when the living ones, according to Revelation 14, they're raptured, they have to be mature. And the rest will have to go through the great tribulation and be perfected. 6. Every believer should live in the divine and mystical realm and be a divine and mystical person. One who is human yet lives divinely. That's what the Lord wants to make you. You're to be human, but you live divinely. But you don't walk around and say, "Hello, my name is so-and-so. I live humanly, but divinely." No. If you're saying that, you're living humanly, but not divinely. Okay? We need to be in the divine and mystical realm, not merely human, but mystically human. Everything in our living should be divine and mystical. Okay? Everything in our living should be divine and mystical. And so get ready. I'm going to tell you something that happened 10 days ago. Talk about part of our daily human living. But the sovereign God arranged it. I got up early in the morning, and then when I came down and told my wife, I said, "My ears are blocked." And I just realized, I think it's the ear wax that's just been solidifying in there. And I think we're going to have to go somewhere and have it cleared out, but I can't go to the one ENT I went to because his boss wanted me to have surgery and all kinds of things to make a lot of money. I don't know where to go. But I knew whom to contact. That was our dear brother Rick. So to examine. And he could say, "Yes, left ear, almost 90%, right ear, 80%, and it's pretty solid." And so I went to urgent care. Okay? Didn't feel the need to go to a hospital or try to get an ENT right away, so we went there. And eventually I got in, you know, sitting on the table, and then a young doctor, I think he was generally a physician, but I think he's in a learning stage. So he just came and started with the right ear, and I'm just sitting there for about half an hour, and he's just flushing it in and doing this and on, doing this, getting it out and trying to get it out. And then someone else came in asking him, you know, what's going on. And then someone else just replaced him, not in a negative way. And someone came in with the left ear. I said, "If the right ear was half an hour, what are they going to do with the wax here?" And then, but this woman who's a nurse, she just, I don't know, she just putting in the water, blup, putting in the water, blup, it's all gone. But I'm sitting there, an octogenarian with wax in my ears. Talk about a human situation. But I can testify, while I was there, I was living in the divine and mystical realm. Right there. And they sensed something. And my dear wife, of course, was with me. And we just gave them a brief gospel word. So that's why when I think of this, everything in our daily living should be divine and mystical. So that means if you're driving where you go and you're at the red arrow and you're in line, you've heard this illustration before, and there are 8 cars in front of you, and if the reflexes are good, you'll make it through when the arrow gets green, and the arrow gets green, they're not moving. In that lane, they're moving. They're not moving. As soon as you say they're not moving, you're already not in the divine and mystical realm. And then, when you get there, it's red. "Now I'll be here 2.5 minutes. Okay. This is an ordinary thing, an opportunity. Live in the divine and mystical realm at the red arrow. Little things like this are going to happen endlessly as we're learning. And there will be crucial things Many of us know heart-rending things we'll go through. But no matter what they are, we're going to be living in the divine and mystical realm. Be, to be divine means doing everything with God, in God, by God, and through God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, especially those that have rather weighty responsibilities in the church life or in the work or in the ministry, there are certain situations you just have to take care of. They're rather serious matters. You have to. Righteousness requires that you do. But then maybe the Lord afterward may indicate what you did was correct. But the way you did it was not. The way you did it. It was you. It was you being righteous. It was you doing what had to be done. And so this is an enlightening point here to say that doing everything with God, in God, by God, and through God. This is one sentence, just opens a whole dimension for us. See, like the Lord Jesus, we should be apparently physical, yet invisibly divine and mystical, living simultaneously in the physical realm and in the divine and mystical realm. Now we're at the peak of the burden. And we'll stay on the peak for the next 7 or 8 minutes. Then we'll be finished. I want to read this point C again. Like the Lord Jesus, we should be apparently physical, yet invisibly divine and mystical, living simultaneously in the physical realm and in the divine and mystical realm, simultaneously. This is what the Lord is after. This is what's on His heart for all of us. This is what He wants to produce in all of us. And those that are open, that they're not just going to wait until, oh, we'll have that the week on Holy Word for Morning Revival, maybe sometime in November about this. We'll have a week on Message 2 and I'll get into it. The Lord will say, is that all that it is to you? Don't you know that I really want to gain ground in you? Why don't you just bring this to me? Let's have some fellowship. Be an open vessel. Let me take you on in this. 7. A quotation from these verses. At that time, two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. The two men and the two women represent the living believers at the time of the Lord's coming. They're believers. They're addressed as believers. So what, this is a principle, what is going to take place among us, among the thousands and thousands of saints in the churches, based upon the present situation? This will be the situation. The brothers will be living a daily life. Sisters are doing the same. Then the Lord will come secretly, ready to rapture the mature saints based upon Revelation 14. And some are taken. And some that we thought it would be left behind. Oh, not a co-worker, not an elder, not this and that. And you realize then they got an email, so-and-so is gone. Another text, gone. Then you realize we're in Matthew 24, 41. And then now we just found out something drastic has happened in Jerusalem to clear the Temple Mount. And they want to rebuild the temple. And the leader of the government in Israel has made a covenant with a powerful leader in Europe. And they've established a covenant. And you know what this means. The 70th week has begun. In 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation will start. And these ones were taken before those first 3.5 weeks. But I will have to go through it. And I will have to go through that Great Tribulation. This is actually going to happen. And that's why it's being spoken now, that it doesn't have to happen to us. To be taken is to be raptured before the Great Tribulation. Matthew 24:41 refers to the secret rapture, the rapture of the ready ones, the mature ones. They're mature. They have to be fully mature. If you haven't lived in the divine and mystical realm enough, and you haven't grown to maturity sufficiently, you'll be left behind. You didn't redeem the time. The difference between the one who was taken and the one who was left is the maturity of life. One is living in the divine and mystical realm, and the other is not. And so they both were living a normal human life, male and female. But one of the brothers, one of the sisters, they were living simultaneously in the physical realm, the human realm, and the divine and mystical realm. Their soul and spirit had been separated, so now they're living in these two realms simultaneously. Because they're living in the divine and mystical realm, we don't know what the indicator will be, what the sense will be. It will be inward. And the one living in the divine and mystical realm responds instantly, and they're gone. And the other, they're not living in the divine and mystical realm, they're left. But as I've been studying this repeatedly, again and again, the Lord brought to me a verse in 1 John 2:28, which corresponds to this, and it fully develops this thought. It's 1 John 2:28, quote, "Now, little children, abide in him, so that if he is manifested, we may have boldness and not be put to shame from him at his coming." Repeat. Little children, abide in him, so that if he is manifested, we may have boldness. When he's manifested, he finds us abiding in him, not only mature. At this present moment, we're abiding in him. And so we respond to his rapture. So we may have boldness and not to be put to shame from him at his coming. So I put this together with these verses in Matthew. Yes, this one may be mature, but just for rather a short period of time, I'm just distracted, I'm occupied with something, I'm doing something I really shouldn't be doing, or I'm having a kind of not an argument, but it's just kind of a strong conversation with my wife, and we're both in the flesh. And that's when the Lord came. Yes, Ron, I'm applying it to myself. I hope that doesn't ever happen that way. That you were mature. But where were you when I came? And so we want to mature in life. And then followed 1 John 2:27, we have the anointing within us, teaching us to abide in Him. We need to learn to abide in Him as we're living in the divine and mystical realm. And then, when the Lord comes to rapture, we will not only be ready, we will be on the alert. And I'll read in the last section, and then you pray, and then we'll have the sharing. The Lord's word in Matthew 24:40-42 shows us that as we are waiting for His coming and expect to be raptured, we need to be faithful in our daily duties, living a properly balanced human life, while simultaneously living in the divine and mystical realm of the consummated Spirit and the pneumatic Christ. My beloved brothers and sisters, at this time, when the Lord comes to rapture certain saints, we will all be living simultaneously in the physical realm and the divine and mystical realm, and we'll all be abiding in Him so that we can meet together, if not in this meeting hall, we can meet together at the throne. This is my hope. This is my prayer. Pray for a minute and then follow the leading to share. We don't have to share in a loud way. Just share in a genuine way. What touched you? What is helping you? Thank the Lord. Okay. So please pray.